Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer and comedian Emily Winter. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I work very hard on it, and I'm happy that you guys are liking the stories. Please, if you are having a good time listening, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends. And one other wonderful thing you can do to support me and the pod is to buy my book. It's a trivia book called One Day Smarter. It makes a perfect grab bag gift book for anyone for the holidays. I would say anyone 12 and older, maybe a little younger if they know about SEX. You know, it's not a swear, it's not a book full of swear words. I'm just babbling now. I'm going to keep this in. It's not a book full of swear words. It's not a book full of sexy information, but it does, as they say on This American Life, acknowledge the existence of sex. But beyond that, I think it makes a great gift for anyone. So, my book just came out. It's called One Day Smarter. It's hilarious random information to uplift and inspire, and I hope you get it wherever you like to get your books. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoy the show. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have Derek and Sarah Wingo.
Hello.
Hi.
Wait, so when you do improv, Sarah, do you go by Sarah Wingo?
Yeah, people actually call me Wingo a lot.
Oh,
like,
that's
just Wingo.
It's a very catchy last name.
It gets confusing if we're both there.
Yeah. Which one is Wingo?
Wingo.
And I'm so excited you're actually in my apartment. We're recording in person, which
I
is so wonderful.
Yeah, it's great.
All Zoom, but Bingo the dog, Bingo not Wingo, is, not to be confused with my friend's dog, Dingo, is chewing. She's playing. She's showing off for them. I'm sorry if there's a little rustling in the background, but Bingo's in almost every episode of this podcast.
Yeah.
So
it's a really amazing dog toy, though. I'm very impressed.
Yeah,
it's working.
Actually, I might wrestle away from her in just a second.
It's a hippie bus that she's tearing open. That's awesome. So you guys have your own podcast called Legends and Spirits. You want to talk about that first? And then tell me some of your stories.
Oh, sure. Well, Legends and Spirits. It's double meaning on spirits because we're just so clever. We pair a cocktail, being veteran retired bartenders. So we pair a cocktail with a few spooky stories. We give a little history of the stories we're talking about. Yeah.
It's basically
just an excuse to, you know, drink. And
well, I feel like the cocktail takes the edge off the creepy stories.
A little bit. Yes,
they, yeah, they go hand in hand.
Yeah,
before we got on this, before I started recording, we were just talking about how sometimes it's nice to drink a little too much, because if you're staying in a haunted place, it
precisely.
It makes it a little less scary. But
smooths,
I think that's a Derek
a
story. And are we starting with the Sarah story?
We'll start with the Sarah story. She's got some good ones.
Great.
I do. I have some good ones.
Yeah.
So I grew up in East Tennessee. And a friend of my family, who's like an aunt to me, bought a historic mansion there. Sight unseen. She like just really wanted to own a historic mansion. So she bought it. And for most of my childhood, it was in various stages of being remodeled and repaired. And it's fully restored now and it's gorgeous. But it has all these like local legend ghost stories about it. It's haunted by a black dog.
It's a historical landmark.
Oh. Yeah. So. It's haunted by a black dog. It's also haunted by like a woman in white in
Love
a wedding
it.
Dress. Yeah. And so there's like a lot of stories there.
Well,
but
you played in a reenactment show.
This is true. This is true.
And they go, which show was it?
Ghost Waters on TLC. You might have heard it. It was
wait,
really...
you were a ghost in a... Yeah, did we talk about this? Because I was also a ghost in a reenactment.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No.
And I was in a white dress.
Me too. They all wear white dresses.
Dude, mine was like, I was 22 and I was a production assistant at a production company here in New York. And they were like, who... They just like... One of the producers came over and was just like, all right, which one of you girls has a white dress? And I was like, I do. And they're like, great, you're the ghost. Bring
you're
it tomorrow.
You're in the show.
Yeah. And I was watching it recently and I was like watching the episode and I just... It's been so long that I totally like forgot. And I was like, some of these facts sound really familiar. And I was like, oh God. I was also really high. And I was like, that's me, man. That's me. I'm
hey,
the
look
ghost.
At me.
Oh,
you're, like, looking
I was
at
like
your...
laying in bed and my husband was out here and he had like friend like one of our good friends, mutual friends, and I was like, you guys, I'm a ghost. And they're like, oh man, she's really high. And I was like,
no,
but
no, for real.
Anyway, so you you were this ghost from this mansion?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So yeah. It's the mansion that you knew. How did you end up being that ghost?
I was the owner of it is like best friends with my parents. So she's like an aunt to me or like a godmother. And this documentary crew was coming in to do, it was my junior year of high school, junior or senior. So I was like 16, 17.
Yeah.
They wanted someone to play this ghost, and I was around and an aspiring actor. So it was my first big film role.
Oh my God, you must have been so pumped.
I think she pitched you. I think it was like, yeah, well, you could shoot here, but I got the actress.
Yeah.
Wait, so, you said that?
I think my family friend.
Like,
yeah.
It was like, yeah, you can shoot in my home, but I know just the person to play the principal, the lead.
But yeah, I grew up like in this house. So all of our like me and my best friend would have like birthday parties there, or we'd have like Christmas or Easter, because it's giant. Like there's like ballrooms in it and things. Like it's huge.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What you see it even from the outside, and definitely when you go in, it's gorgeous and it's been restored like amazingly. But you go in and you're like, there's no way this can't be haunted.
Well, and I spent most of my childhood being scared of it. Like, yeah. Like playing in it. There's also like boxwoods out front that are hundreds of years old. Oh. And I don't know if you've ever crawled into a boxwood that's big, but it makes like a room.
Oh my God,
so like
no.
You could have epic, terrifying games of hide and go seek.
I've never even heard of boxwoods before.
For those of you who don't know what a boxwood is, reference The Shining. Those are like...
Like what the topiary garden is made out of.
So it's always kind of dark in there.
Oh yeah, it's like a little room. It's
that's
creepy.
Amazing.
The little maze, the little maze at the end that they're running.
Yeah,
through. It's kind of like that.
Oh my God!
I have a couple of stories about this house.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
So one just like to set the tone. So like my family friend lives in this home by herself. Like she always wanted to have one. She is not scared of it. She thinks that if anything, the spirit of the house, she's like restored it and it accepts her and likes her. So and I think you do get that feeling because it's restored beautifully. But there was one. So there's the ghost room, which is one of the former owners who was like a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
Died of yellow fever, possibly in this room.
Okay.
And it was said that when he died, a swarm of flies flew in and covered his face.
Ugh.
And suffocated him. So, and there's also a cemetery on the grounds of the mansion because it's old. There's like generations of people have lived in this house. So when the hearse was taking him away to be buried, it wouldn't cross into hollow ground. And so the legend is a bolt of lightning struck the hearse and a black dog jumped out. Because this guy's soul was so black, he was rejected from hell. So there's like a hellhound that wanders around the mansion.
Gosh.
You gotta be like all kinds of a-hole to get rejected from hell.
From hell?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like, that's a new goal, you know?
So,
hell.
Do you hear about this, Bingo?
I thought Bingo might like this story.
That's a really bad dog.
A hellhound.
No, you're a good dog. Sorry.
She looks very concerned.
She got upset.
She thinks I was just chewing my butt.
You're a good dog.
So that's one of the stories. So there... The one of the designers that went in like at the tail end, she did all like for years and years, did all the like rewiring and replumbing and kept it from caving in. And then they brought in designers like the Junior League of the town.
Mm-hmm.
Like as she opened it to like a tour of homes, everyone wanted to see it. They they would design it for free, which was lovely. So yeah, it was amazing. But these cheeky designers made the ghost room all dogs. So there's dog wallpaper, there's dog curtains, there's little dog details
because,
everywhere.
Like, everyone knows this. Everyone knows the story.
Yes, yeah, it's like well known. And they've turned it in. She's turned it into like a TV room, like a lounge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a bedroom anymore.
Called the ghost room.
Called the ghost room. Yeah. Or the dog room, or either way, but it's the ghost dog room. So there is a bedroom that shares like a Jack and Jill bathroom with it, which is the red room. And in the red room is there's also that looks out into the river where you can see the other ghosts or one of the other ghosts, the woman in white, walking up and down the shores of this river. So I was staying there on a trip in the Red Room. So I was visiting, I was setting a dance production on a company that was in the town. They brought me back as like the hometown kid that goes and like directs the show. So I was staying there. Derek didn't go with me on this trip. And I only had 7 days to set an entire musical. So I was working like crazy.
Yeah.
And I got super sick the first night there, like got the flu and walking pneumonia. So I could barely get out of bed, but I was still trying to like run these auditions. So first thing that happened, staying at, next to the ghost room, I got really sick. Then towards the end of the week, I started feeling a little better. And I was hanging out in the ghost room. And I had kind of been like, you're a grown up now. You can do this. You're not scared of this place anymore. You're fine. Come on, Sarah, you got this. I'm gonna go watch TV in the ghost room. It's cool. And I went to the ghost room and watched TV. I think I probably like timed it. I was like, I'm gonna sit here for like an hour and it's gonna be fine. And then I feel like I did it. And we're like, okay, that's all I'm gonna do. And ran out. And then noticed, actually, as I was watching TV, I started to feel itchy. Like my skin
weird.
Started to feel itchy. And then I look down and I see fleas on my skin. I am
bitten
by fleas. And the owner of the house does not have a dog.
Or pets
at all. And it's maintained impeccably. So it's not like this was a room that was never used or like it's never cleaned. It was like...
No visitors are allowed pets. Yeah.
Like the bed in the red room didn't smell like dusty. Nope. Like everything was just like everything super nice.
Yeah. And I got...
That is so scary.
But I legit got fleas to where when I got back, we had to like fumigate my suitcase to make sure we didn't give it to our house.
Ghost fleas. Ghost dog fleas.
I got ghost fleas.
Oh my gosh. So like what did you do? How did you get rid of them? And did you realize right away like ghost dog, ghost fleas?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I got like complete, like as soon, well, first there's like the looking down and being like, I have bugs on me. Like that's, I'm not outdoorsy. So I was like, of course had that reaction.
Right.
And then being a New Yorker, I'd be like, oh my God, bed bugs. And then I was like, okay, it's just
thank
fleas.
God. It's just...
Oh my God, it's a ghost room. Okay. And so, yeah, so I got completely, it also made me be like, did I get sick because something didn't want me here?
Right,
like,
right. Because
it was I got really sick as soon as I got into that room.
Really, really bad. A couple of the notables who live there or associated with the house, a couple drowned.
One drowned. One's husband drowned or fiance drowned before their wedding day. And that actually happened. Like,
in the
that's
river
historically
right out
that
front.
Happened. There's yes. like
that's
record
not like
of that.
A
that's
old
not
black
like,
tail or something.
That's
yeah.
not like a black dog dumping out of a coffin.
Right. Right. But legit, still, like, now I'm like, historically, well, maybe that did happen because you got fleas. Right?
I definitely got fleas from it. There's also like the bathroom next to the red room you can't use. The tub is not workable, and that was one thing that the owner had over and over again tried to get the plumbing fixed.
Yeah.
And the basement of this place is crazy, and I think that historically, like, it's a plantation, so enslaved people were kept in the basement, and that was where they lived. So there's like all kinds of like
trauma,
bad mojo there, bad feelings. And some of the owners had good reputations and some had like terrible reputation. The black dog owner had like an awful reputation. So like, who knows what, there was truly bad things that probably happened down there. So the plumbing has never worked to this one particular bathroom, even through all the remodels. And there were
should work the way they fixed it. And
right.
Yeah. It's been totally redone. So it should
There's
work.
No like logical explanation why the water won't flow.
It won't flow through the tub, like the tub and shower. So
it's wild.
When I was in, this is before I got fleas from there, when I was in college, this made the newspaper in my town, but there were workers that were brought in to fix it, like, and I think it was like in November. And this is in Tennessee, so it was pretty cold. And one of them, it's two guys in the basement. One of them all of a sudden just throws down his tools and was like, I'm out of here. It doesn't want me here. And ran out of the front of the house. And it's on a river and like ran across, like it's not a deep river, but like ran across the river in the freezing cold. Now, there's also meth in the area, so you don't have to, like...
Should be noted, to be fair. Like, I'm not,
but that actually happened, too.
Oh, my God.
And the other plumber, he, like, left his tools, like, he would not come back. Yeah. And the other plumber had no idea what was going on. Like, so one of them saw something, one of them didn't.
Whoa. All right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And I got, I got one more story about the house,
Oh, too. I love this house.
Another story that happened, I think...
Wait, how did your production go? That week when you were so sick and everything.
So the production got done, but there was some bad mojo with that company too. The owners of the company had like ripped off some of the other, like I was one of the only people that got paid. The whole thing was like bad mojo. Whoa. So I don't think I was supposed to be there really. So maybe the house was looking out for me and being like, don't waste your time on this.
I always thought too that there's the drowning stuff. And there's a lot of the haunting revolves around the river it's on. And, you know, there's something with the water flow. And I found it, I don't know, it's maybe a stretch, but like I found it interesting that you got pneumonia.
Yeah.
So like a water, you know, someone gets pneumonia after they've drowned or been in the water. And
I don't think I've ever heard of somebody like getting pneumonia, just getting pneumonia, like out in the wild in this day and age. Yeah. Like, I feel like I hear about it like if you go into the hospital and with something else and then you might catch pneumonia or you're really, sick. Really old and you're sick. Yeah.
Exactly.
I also had like fever dreams in that room too. Yeah, like it was, crazy. I was like super sick. And actually one of my parents were from this town. They didn't live there anymore, but they had friends. And one of their family friends who was a doctor came in to check on me because I think I had called my parents and was like, I'm super sick. And the owner was, I was also there by myself. The owner was gone. So I was staying in this mansion by myself. I forgot she was out of town.
I'd be so freaked out then. Like, you're vulnerable. And
I was, and I was trying so hard. And I think I was like, late 20s, early 30s. I was like trying to be a big kid. Like, I'm old enough to like be here. It's fun. I'm a New Yorker now. I'm not even scared of that. I took self-defense classes. There. And
I'll stay in the haunted house.
Yeah. I was trying to be like, it's like no big deal. And then I got there and that happened. But I remember my friend's dad coming to check on me. And I had so much pressure in my chest. It really felt, it wasn't quite... I definitely had fever dreams. It wasn't quite sleep paralysis, but it was like not far off. Like I felt like someone was like pressing me down, like in the bed when I was there. Like it was
one
of the sickest I've ever been.
Holy cow. Have you been back or is the second story post this?
The second story was just right before this. So I think there's things that like probably kick up and get active and then things that just it stays quiet for years and years. So I think this was like having grown up there as a kid, most of the stuff we were scared of was each other, just like me and my brother and my friend
scaring each other.
Or like, I mean, it was still kind of like under construction, so like that's kind of weird anyway. So I think a lot of the stuff we just knew the stories and we're like creeping each other out.
Yeah.
This was like the fleas thing. I was like, I actually got bites. I had welts from that.
Have you been back since?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Have you stayed there?
I haven't stayed the night since.
Yeah, I would never. I don't even know if I could set foot in there again. Yeah. But
I don't think I can convince Derek to.
No, hell no.
Would
God,
you do
no.
it?
God, no. Spend the night? No, not me. You can spend the night. I'll be at my Motel parents, 6 down the street.
My parents stay there when they're visiting. And my parents are pretty like, they're not super easily freaked out. And I think even they get a little jumpy like staying there because they stay in the red room when they're there too.
We always joke too, like, you know, being in, and you are, I'm sure the same with your show, like you start looking into all this stuff, and for having a paranormal podcast, we're actually very afraid of the
super
paranormal.
Squeamish.
Yeah.
That's why we have to drink while we talk about it.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't want this shit.
Need a little liquid courage here to get through it.
Like, this is terrifying.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I'm the same way. Very scared. And when I record in bulk, then I have to stage, and Chris, my husband, was like, okay, that's cute or whatever. And then some weird things started happening in this apartment after I did a bulk recording, I think 2 years ago.
I really do believe that you, when you look into it and you really, I think, and you, a lot of people talk about this, like if you are really looking for it,
you'll find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You open yourself up to it too, to accepting it's a possibility.
Yeah, and that's
and you hear things where you're like, this is just something for fun, and then you hear people that like you hear some things that repeat, like in some of the stories, yeah. and you're like, well, why is everyone making up the same
thing? I also think that's why, you know, people with, you know, like Ouija boards or doing seances, I'm like, you don't. Don't mess around. Don't mess around with that stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I have one last story, short one. But so the owner of the house, no nonsense kind of lady, loves history. Like she values the house so much. She doesn't like people like gawking at it and being, you know. So a lot of the times, if you try to ask her, you know, what is this? Have you ever seen the black dog or the lady in white? And she's just kind of roll her eyes and be like, no, there's a history in the house. And she's not interested in it. But there was one time, around the time of the plumbing issue and a little bit before I had the fleas issue, she was there alone and had issues with her neighbors building, a little bit onto her property. It's a big property, but mm-hmm. there was like a pool they had built and it was kind of annoying to her. And they had college kids that would have parties out there. So she woke up in the middle of the night one night and she heard splashing and screaming. And she's like, wakes up and is like, freaking neighbors are driving me crazy. And so she looks out the window and she can kind of see towards the pool and it's dark and she doesn't see anything, empty. Like there's no one there. And then, so she's kind of like, oh, that's weird. And she continues to hear the splashing and screaming. And so she grabs her phone and does a lap kind of around. Her bedroom is on the second floor of the mansion. She winds around to the first floor, and she's still hearing it, and opens the front door, which, again, looks out into this river. And she's hearing the splashing and screaming coming from the river. And she realizes the sound of a woman's voice who's screaming, they're drowning. Oh, my God, they're drowning. And so she calls 911. And
so she can hear this like super clearly.
Clearly. It's like the sound is bouncing up like into, and it's kind of like a bit of a hill. So it would, the sound would bounce right up to her house. So she has dispatcher on the phone and she's saying, you know, this is my location and I'm hearing the sounds of, it's someone screaming and saying they're drowning. The dispatcher says, oh, I hear them. We're going to send out paramedics to, or a car to one side of the river and to your side of the river as well. So the dispatcher says that and says, can you just let them know help is on the way? Mm-hmm. And so friend calls out, I've called 911. People are coming. Mm-hmm. The screaming stops completely. There are no sounds. When paramedics and get there, there's no sign of anyone being there. No one was partying there. There's no footprints.
Oh, my God.
There's nothing. And then when they go back and play the tape of the 911 call, when you hear the dispatcher say, yeah, I can hear them. No, you can't. There's no sound on there. You don't hear anything.
And again, the reference to that too is one of the owners who, not the
builder of the mansion.
What was it? The builder?
The builders built it for his daughter for her wedding.
I think it was the night before?
The day before her wedding.
Day before her wedding, her husband was out boating on that river. Fishing, if I'm not mistaken.
Fishing with her cousins. And the boat capsized and her fiance drowned while she was getting fitted for her wedding. So she's in a wedding dress and she hears this commotion and goes running out the front door of the mansion to
and
the shore.
Says,
and everyone survived but her fiance on this boat being capsized.
So, oh my God.
Yeah, so that's the story.
Right.
And that is the saddest story.
So sad,
and like, you can see why that would maybe not go away so easily.
Yes.
That particular, you know, there's so many white dress paranormal apparitions that we've studied. This one is in white because it's her wedding
that she didn't get to have.
And she was one. She saw the boat capsize because it's a pretty fast moving river.
It can be quite
And so I think it somehow capsized while they're fishing, and fiance got swept away the night before the wedding. And I think that was like one of the last things that she, or one
so
of the
she
things
never
she was
moved into
saying.
The house after
oh
that.
My God.
She,
yeah.
So the woman it was built as a wedding gift,
and that's person that you played, right?
Yeah.
Yes, that she played.
Oh my God! So wait, this is an amazing story. because it's not just like, it's not just your friend who hears it. Like, you have corroboration, which I always really love.
Yes.
And then like something that cannot be explained. Like, after exactly. the corroboration, it's like, it's a very tight ghost story. Good job, it's ghost.
Tight. Oh, good.
You know,
I think part of like what we love about ghost stories is the history. Like, in our podcast, a lot of times it's because the story comes, most of what we do comes from a historical place. Like, the choices yeah. we make, the things we do, the way we view the world, it all comes through. It was like grounded somewhere.
And going, I think, back and back and back.
I think paranormal yeah. stories, more than anything, that like they come from, like, there's a seed that was planted that was like probably in our dimension, which is real, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That it grows into something else. And I do think, like, what you were saying with like the
as
Ouija
you can see,
board,
we also smoke a lot of weed.
I love it.
But you do not want to combine that with ghost stories, because you want to have some paranoia you can't recover yeah. from. Yeah, no, that's like a next day thing. But what you were saying with like you having some like weird stuff going on in your house after recording a bunch of episodes, I feel like once you mm-hmm. like open your mind to it a little bit, you can see some threads and connections that are easier to trace than maybe you'd like them to be.
Yeah.
That's very scary. Yeah. So anyway, Derek, you have some paranormal stories
as
well.
I do. I do. I'm going to pull up my video proof.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Well, I'll start by saying, so I was down in Memphis, Tennessee.
Both of our stories are in Tennessee.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow.
We didn't even really plan that.
I don't know if I have a Tennessee episode yet, so that's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah's sort of home state, kind of, initially. Yeah. I grew up there for a while. So I was officiating a wedding, and I was staying at the Peabody Hotel. That's the one with the ducks and stuff, which is amazing. It's a great hotel. Gorgeous. I should mention it doesn't feel, and everyone who's experienced things down there does not say that it's malevolent or whatever. And I never got that feeling, but it is notoriously haunted and has been for quite some time.
I totally didn't know that. When I saw the ducks again, it was just felt joyous and silly.
It's,
and there was a million kids
in there.
Kids and ducks.
One of the greatest experiences in the world. And, and it's right in front of the bar, so you can sit and, you know, have drinks and watch ducks, you know, swim around. It's, what more can you ask for? And so I was staying there, and I had got down there, and I was like, okay, we did a bunch of homework, and we kind of like, you know, built an episode around there, because I was going down to officiate this wedding. So I'm like, okay, and I have my little video equipment, my recording equipment, and so the 11th floor is the one that's supposed to be really haunted.
Okay.
And so
is Sarah with you at this time?
No, okay. I was on a solo mission.
I had to stay here and
work and make us money.
And this is also during the pandemic, so we wanted to like minimize the traveling. Right. But Derek was officiating this wedding, and it was one of those pandemic weddings that had been rescheduled like 15
three
times.
Yeah.
So,
and, you know, back, you know,
we got to a point where you're like, you just got to go. Just got to mask up. You got to go. So
And it was one of the ones where I agreed to like do this like 6 or 8 months before. We're like, it's over. Oh, it's not even close.
So many times. I keep thinking it's over, and then I keep thinking it's not over. Yeah. And I'm like, I'll get back into stand-up comedy very hardcore when it's actually, and now I'm like, is it over? I don't know.
Anyway, I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
but so I'm down there, and I decided, I'm like, okay, I get there, we kind of get settled in. And so I do my little roving reporter shtick, and I go around the hotel and go to the two of the bars also have had some reported things happen. So I went there and then went upstairs to the 11th floor and walked all around the halls, and kind of, you know, like what we were saying, I'm sure I was just like freaking myself out, because for a person who talks about this on a podcast, I'm really terrified of anything actually happening to me. And so I was walking around, there was no one really up there. And so I'm walking around, and I'm going through the whole story of the 11th floor and the history of it, and what the haunting and who the, you know, supposed person is. And I just kind of worked myself into a little bit of a, like, ooh, where I started getting a little jumpy. And I even had a point too, where one of, you know, it's the usual tropes, if you will. It's the, you know, people get like the, you know, the real cold blast of air, or they'll walk through a cold spot, or they'll hear like a disembodied voice or a whisper behind them. And so, you know, like I get a little chills thinking about it. But you kind of go up and down the, there's several connecting hallways, and it's, it really is a little, it's, you start getting a little freaked out. And at one point I did kind of go through a cold spot, and I felt like a blast of cold over my shoulder, and I kind of whip around and I was like, I'm pretty sure that's the AC.
Also, he recorded this to show me, and I love nothing more than like a really bad, like, ghost
yeah, so
hunter.
We were like I was, I'm sticking it up.
I
not
can watch for
yeah.
hours on YouTube of like bad
yes,
ghost hunters.
So
I didn't know this was a genre on YouTube. I should
oh,
check
yeah,
it
just,
out.
Oh yeah. yeah.
Like just ghost hunter bad fails ghost or something.
Yeah.
Well, there's like
or just like
just
the ghost
corny. Some of them you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it's like a teenager with
they're
like
really
goth makeup
and
on.
They,
like,
yeah. and they all of course have the night vision function on. Yeah. I'm like, you don't need night vision. That didn't do anything.
But Derek's like doing this video.
So I'm sticking it up.
Yeah, tongue in cheek.
And I, so I go and, but it's kind of like you, you know, you not poke the bear, you poke the spirit or whatever. And so I do this and then I do my little thing. I come back to my room and I'm on my way down, you know, as I'm leaving, I'm kind of like, whew, that kind of, I actually kind of freaked myself out a little bit. I go back down and I get ready, go to the wedding. I have somewhere between, I don't know. 4 and 18 Tennessee whiskey shots. Got a little hazy there towards the end.
Also, this was like the day of the election announcement too. So
oh
there
yeah,
some,
so there's like
there's also
the
some
one table of New Yorkers.
It's very celebratory.
With with a large some conflicting ideologies at this
oh,
wedding.
No.
So we're like, yeah, okay. yes,
I can't imagine
I mean,
not being able to celebrate.
Well,
like,
we were
it
all
was chaos here in New York.
I know. I was like, oh, why'd I have to go down here? But we, so
they still celebrated.
Oh, we, yeah, oh, we definitely. That was part of the yes, slurp, slurp. So
to the couple.
Yay, to the couple.
And
yeah,
their bright,
to the couple.
Bright future.
Yeah.
And all the good things that are going to happen in the future for this couple.
In the next
now,
4 years.
Looks really, really bright, doesn't it? Huh? And so I do that, and I come back and somehow have a slice of pizza, even though I'm in Memphis. I found the only pizza place.
It just appeared. It was like, that's part of the ghost story.
Two or three in the morning. I'm like, ah, there's pizza. And I'm like, wait, I'm not in New York. Why do I not have a, you know.
Was it Papa John's?
Probably.
That was all I could find in Memphis.
It was some awful. No, it was like some mom and pop place.
Oh, that's better.
Well, hey, yeah, that is better. I would. That was
well,
better, yeah.
I think Papa John's might have been better. I had actually looked into ordering and they had stopped ordering at that point because it was like the middle of the night at this point and I was trying to soak it up. And so I sit down, and so I'm telling you this now having sort of recalled this after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
What was happening real time was that I came back, I was turned on the TV, having watching my ESPN highlights, had the lights on, and this is post me coming doing my paranormal investigation and then coming in at kind of that bewitching hour around, I think it was around 2 or 3, and I'm saying I think it was around 2 or 3 because
mm-hmm.
yeah
mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting down there, and I what I recall is hearing something as though there was something, I can't even explain it, as though there was a sound coming from like on the ceiling, but like on the, like as though
somebody was walking on the ceiling or banging on the ceiling.
It would almost be like steps, but coming from the ceiling, not from the room above.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I was like, oh, that, and I kept kind of looking up and I'm like, oh, no, that's weird. And
you're like, that's weird, but I'm drunk, so.
But I'm drunk,
and
I have ESPN,
and
but I didn't, the weird thing is I didn't feel, nothing felt weird. I, this is a ways, I'm showing Emily this video of what I was seeing, which
yeah,
is
so
a five chandelier.
Oh.
With, there's a five light chandelier hanging from the ceiling, and the light closest to me started blinking on and off, or as though it was turning on and off again. And it's kind of hard to demonstrate just because it doesn't seem like a big deal as I'm showing her on my iPhone, but it's one of the lights, the light that I'm almost directly under, sitting there, just kind of would turn off and on, and accompanied by or after the sound that I heard on the ceiling. And it didn't feel wrong, or I didn't feel threatened, but it was almost like just something letting me know,
like, I'm here.
Oh, like, here's my little God. Video.
So this keeps going on, but it would turn off.
But it's not like a flicker. It's like a switch. And it's one light in the chandelier.
It's not the whole chandelier. Yeah. It's just the light that I was literally almost sitting under in the chair that I was sitting in. I was looking up at it. And so I had my phone videoing the light turning on and off, videoing in one hand and eating my Memphis pizza in another hand, watching ESPN.
I commend you for being like 18 shots deep and still getting your video.
Fortunately.
My favorite part is how Derek found the video.
Now.
He didn't remember taking it. He was scrolling back through, like showing me stuff. And he was like, oh, wait a minute. And started watching this.
And then
it
kind of came back
shit.
To me.
Right. And then the ghost in my
oh my
hotel
God,
room.
The ghost gave me amnesia. Oh, no, it didn't give me amnesia. I had like 45 shots of whiskey that night. And I was like, oh. And then I hear myself chomping on pizza and just being like, oh. And so I did fall asleep.
Passed out.
I passed out with the TV on. I think I deliberately kind of left some lights on and stuff.
Yeah.
But you hear a lot of stories about this. I did not feel the need to move rooms or anything like that. I didn't feel threatened. I did feel, but there was a part of me, I think I may have even audibly even said, like, you know, hey, I'm loving my stay here. I'm out of here tomorrow. Really, I'm really enjoying it here. And just kind of cool.
Thanks.
I'll make sure I get barbecue, not pizza next time. But, but yeah, that, and what I did kind of vaguely recall is that had been going on for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think I got up and tested the light. Like, if I turn this off and turn it on, is there a short? Short would, like, you've seen when a bulb goes out. This is almost as though the light above me was turning off and on again, almost like, hey,
yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, Sarah said it's like, it's not flickering.
It's
just
not
off
flickering.
And then
And it just kind of kept doing that. And
I feel like the Peabody was like showing off for you, like in a funny way. Like,
I
kind of
do, too.
You were that
They're
guy
like,
from the 11th floor that the AC was scary. All right.
This guy.
All right, guy.
But if anything, it kind of felt like it was like an acknowledgement of like a little wink to me. Like,
You came here looking for me, and like, I'm not going to give you too much, but I'm here.
But here you go.
That's kind of nice.
This is a nice, cute one. I don't want to freak you out. I can tell that you're kind of a wimp when it comes to this. I don't want to get...
I always
We're going to let you
peek
totally behind the curtain here, but we'll give you the, the light version. Literally and
literally,
figuratively.
Yeah. That's amazing.
So that was like... And I don't... We've met so many people... Not only doing this, but even before that too, where Sarah's had several experiences. I've had a couple of interesting experiences, but it seems like there are people who are more tuned into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we've been having a couple more experiences that we've been doing this.
Oh, right. Because Sarah, you were talking about when we were on a show together recently.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how... So we, Derek, Sarah, and I all live in close neighborhoods in Brooklyn. And you were talking about how there's like a thin place off the train, and you had a weird feeling. So
I almost had to fight a ghost. That's how much I love
her. I want you guys to tell the story if you're up for it.
Yeah.
But after it was like the day, because this show was only a couple weeks ago that we did together. After that, the next day, I started walking Bingo. over there because I was like, well, I want to feel the thin place. But Bingo is so such a brat that she was like, I want to go this way. And she like wouldn't go. She like wouldn't go on the street. But like, I don't think that was, I think that she's just very bratty. She's right. always trying to like, you know, like sniff out the
We're
next.
On my program.
You know? Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, tell me about.
Yeah. So on the way from the subway to our apartment, we're like two blocks away, and it's a really gorgeous neighborhood with old buildings. And there's like a big, beautiful church on one side and then a bunch of old historic brownstones on the other. And I had kind of noticed walking home at night at certain times, because it's also a pretty residential area, there won't be like tons of people on the street like in Manhattan. So like at, you know, 8:30 at night, a lot of people go indoors. And so I would be walking back from the train and I would always hit this one particular spot on the block where I'd feel the need to look over my shoulder, like New Yorker style, to be like, what, who's watching me? Like,
yeah.
To make sure that, you know, and it, there would never be anyone there. And it would almost be like, sometimes there'd be like something that would like catch my eye, or I'd feel like the need to turn around. And it would be it wouldn't be like a sneaky feeling. It would be like an abrupt, like someone is too close feeling.
And this has been going on for quite some time.
And I hadn't talked about it to Derek for a while because I was just like kind of spazzy. And then
wait, what's the block again? No, I've forgotten.
It's on Bergen or Congress Street between Court and Clinton.
Okay, right.
And there, and it's a really pretty block. But I noticed that Derek and I, when we'd run errands, he would dodge that block. And I was like, he'd go kind of around to get out of there. And
also because I'm a brat when I'm walking.
Yeah, because he's also.
You're also looking for squirrels.
Yeah, trees.
There's one.
He has his favorite trees he likes to go to, and they're not on that block. But I asked him, I was like, are you avoiding this because it feels funny? And he was like, what? No, it's got too many kids on it. Like, I like going down the street.
Damn kids.
And so I told him, I was like, yeah, it's funny. Like, I walk down here at night, and it's not every night, but like a lot of the times I just feel like I got to turn around. Like, I get this creepy feeling like someone is following me, and I whip around to, like you do in New York when you feel that way, so everyone knows, you know, and there's literally never anyone there anytime it happens. And if there are people there, I don't have the feeling. And so we kind of like joked about it, and
did you believe Sarah at first?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he was even trying to, like, he wanted to try to find it. So then he wanted to go down the block and be like, where is it? Is it this spot? And I kept being like, it's like between these two apartments, and one of them is kind of old and needs to be remodeled. And he's like, isn't it in front of that one, right? And I'm like,
it's this one. This is
not.
Like, nope, it's not the one that looks haunted.
No, it's not the one that looks haunted, but it's this spot in the street. But this is like very early on, before we knew what was going on with COVID. Before the hospitals were testing for it, we're pretty sure Derek had it. Like, Derek was super duper sick.
Oh. Yeah.
And this is like right at the very
really
beginning.
In like March or February?
February.
Yeah, early February. So it was kind of like just, we don't know.
I was like, should we test me for this? They're like, no.
And we don't do that yet. Like, that was the, yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Well, So he's home pretty sick, and we didn't know information about it. So I was still working, like not knowing what was going on, like we used to do before COVID. Now we wouldn't do that. But anyway, so. I called him, and he'd been really sick with a fever, and he'd been in bed. And so I called him to be like, hey, do you want me to grab any soup or anything for you? And I'm like walking down this block, and I was like, I can, you know, pull off. And he was chatting, and then all of a sudden I was like, I think I gasped, or I like was like, oh
no, it sounded like somebody, I was worried somebody had like not quite attacked her, because I could hear her on the phone, but did something or bumped her.
I made a reactive sound.
Yeah, like, and very reactive.
I felt very clearly, it was my right shoulder, a man's hand on my right shoulder, kind of like New Yorker style, push me out of the way. And it wasn't like super aggressive, but it was like on the subway. I mean, when someone's like trying to get off and you're in the way, but there was no one there.
Oh,
so
my gosh.
I like whipped her out, and Derek, like, I have like chills every time I talk about it. Derek was like, what happened? Are you okay? And I was like, I'm pretty sure someone just shoved me like out of the way of the thin place. And he was like, is it a ghost? I'll come fight a ghost. Do you want me to come down there?
You're like, you're delirious. Like, don't leave
what
bed.
What are you going to do with your sick ass? Go punch like an invisible person in the face?
Will.
Like, what do you think?
For you, babe.
Do?
I love you that much.
But yeah, I was quite freaked out, and it passed that quickly, but I felt someone like
Oh my God.
I wonder,
I'm walking here.
And I knew it was a man for some reason. It felt like a man. The hand wasn't cold or anything. It felt like a normal, you know, but it, but there was just literally no one there.
Oh my God. I'm going to go back to this place.
But yeah, I'm actually just doing a little connect the dots right now, and I'm just spitballing on explanations. Sometimes I've had experiences too where it was almost like prepping you for like a warning, like, hey, learn to listen to this because this may help you in the future. And I forgot, or just thinking of it now, that since Sarah and I have been together a long time, like, I always would try to, whenever I could, if I was home, I'd walk, you know, even if it wasn't particularly late, I'd still, I'll go out and meet you. You know, it's just
That's nice.
Just nice. Yeah, he's a nice guy.
That's very nice. Yeah, I try. Now I'm like, wow.
I have my moments. But, you know, she, it's funny. There was a time recently where.
Just a couple months ago.
Yeah, actually just a couple months ago, as I'm thinking about it, where she had gotten followed off the train, like deliberately followed. And turns out.
Well, I even ducked in. So I got off. It was the same train stop and I passed, so, you know, someone just gives you the heebie-jeebies. This is a real person.
Yeah.
Like, this is an actual person. And he caught my eye because he had a hood on and no mask.
Yeah,
and just looked like out of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this guy's kind of drunk and unstable. And then I saw he like started following me. And there's a little pizza spot up. And so I was like, I'm just going to go into this restaurant and act like I'm meeting friends here. So I ducked in and I just called Derek and was like, hey, I'm just going to peel off for a few minutes. Like, this guy is following me. And I think he's gone now and I'm probably being paranoid, but I'm just going to like hang here for a second. It was very popular. It was a lot of people on the sidewalk. So Derek was like, I'm going to come meet you. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to actually cross the street so I'm not walking down this side. And I crossed the street, which is a little darker on the other side. And Derek, by this time, has come to meet me at the end of the block. And as soon as I crossed the street, this guy crossed. He had been following me.
But, just waiting.
But right. But we, I actually was walking up this and walking up the street.
And Derek had to pass the
facing
same spot.
Facing Sarah. Yeah, and I could see this guy with the hood closing in rapidly behind Sarah. And so by about the time, you know, and I doubled my pace and ran up and just kind of did this, kind of move her out of the way and just kind of like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, hey, how are you? Have and a good night. Like, you know, one of those deals. But it actually was right by the
pretty close.
The point we met was right about our little thin spot.
Yeah.
Oh,
and I just thought about that.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about that either. That's
like,
pretty weird.
Maybe like
maybe our ghost was like, hey, you got to.
Maybe it was
like
a warning.
Here's a little practice.
A
like,
rude Brooklyn warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a cool Brooklyn ghost being like, hey, shouldn't be walking down this block.
Yeah.
It's dark. It's
alert,
an abnormally dark stretch
where
it's kind of like the trees kind of like block out from the streetlight. Yeah, it's so. You know, maybe the ghost was looking out for us.
Yeah.
That is amazing and terrible, obviously.
Yeah.
And like, man, it doesn't matter where you live. Like, this is always a thing. Oh, it's awful. But maybe your ghost protected
you. I feel like
you gotta trust your
whip around instincts, though.
Yeah.
I feel like we all, like, if you get that feeling, I feel like sometimes we like think, oh, you don't want to be rude. And I think in New York, you get that where you're like, I want everyone to know I'm very aware of what's going on around me. And I think that kind of helps, although with this guy, like, it didn't until I had a backup there.
But. I mean, yeah, but also, like, you were like, oh, I'm gonna call him. Doing this podcast, one cool thing is that a lot of people have really positive interactions with spirits.
Yeah.
Or neutral
that
then they can later explain, or maybe they don't explain it. They're just like, I'll never know, but, you know, it was this one weird thing that happened, and it didn't feel evil, and it didn't feel like it wanted to.
Right.
Take
with
over
parents
my body.
Or
yeah.
loved ones, I'll give you one last one if you're still.
Absolutely.
On that note, and I wasn't actually sure if I very 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 seldomly share this. Like, I mean, it's Sarah and a couple people who I've told, but like on that note, and on a very positive note, this portion's positive, ish, on the heels of a very tragic. Circumstance. I had a very, very dear friend of mine lost her life in a car accident many years ago.
Sorry.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, and that, as you know, anyone whose time was cut too short, and she was just magic. She was the, just one of those people that just everyone loved, and our little group of friends, that, you know, she was just the spark, the whatever metaphor you want to throw in there. And she, I want to say it was maybe within the first couple days of her passing, I had, this is back in the old flip phone days, I had, and not the smartphone, so I had like the flip phone, I think I had dozed off, or I was chatting to somebody, so I had like the phone next to me, but somehow I don't recall closing it, so it may have, like, I just maybe fell asleep with it. But this is the old, like, where you have to like push the buttons hard and numerous times. And you know, I was still, I don't even know that I'd gone back up to LA for the funeral yet. I think it was that new. And as a lot of experiences happen, people experience things through strangely electronics or lights, yes, or stuff like that. So I had my little phone next to me, and I woke up to her voicemail just saying, hey, I might not mention her name just out of respect to the family, but hey, it's so-and-so. I'm going to, you know, just leave your name and number. And it was her cheery voice. And it was one of those ones too, where it, like, you know, sometimes you wake up like a shot.
Yeah.
And not in a way of that it was scary per se, but just in a way where I just woke up, and that's what was like next to my face in my ear was her voice and her.
And there's no reason that could have possibly, there's no like speed dial I can't, on a flip phone.
Right. No. Yeah. And this is the old, Nokia flip phone days, where it's like for me to have had, because when you hit, you know,
you have to dial the number and hit send.
Yeah.
And so it's a lot of
or
stuff.
Like scroll through like your.
Right. So I forgot about that. Yeah. But so like you, with the arrow but buttons.
The arrow button. And so I would have had to, this would have been after the only thing was it was open. So I would have, the call I was on, I hit end and end just cleared your whole screen.
Right.
I would have had to like scroll down, you know, go into my contacts,
yeah,
scroll down to P where her name was all the way down, and then hit send to have made that call.
Yeah. Oh my God. That's so
beautiful. That was one where it was almost like, I was almost like, thanks for saying goodbye on your way out or something like that.
Did you felt that way pretty immediately?
Yeah, I didn't feel, it wasn't like a scared thing. It was, I think I kind of started crying and I was just like, thanks for saying goodbye or whatever.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I think, and I've heard, you know, we've heard of, you know, protector ghosts or spirits, or people call them guardian angels. And, you know, we've heard, you know, you hear it, whether you probably have a bunch on your show as well, where people lose loved ones and they come back to be visited or helped in some way. And I think that's like the stuff that we love about doing this. Those are the stories you like to hear, where you're like, oh, this is just, because I think it demonstrates that there's more to it than we understand, but in a kind of beautiful way. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, I'm going to cry. Oh. That's so sweet. Yeah. So like 3 weeks into dating my husband, his roommate who he was living with passed away. Ugh. And I had just started dating him, and for some reason I called him in the middle of the night, and he obviously didn't pick up because he was asleep, because it was the middle of the night. But I didn't know why I called him. I didn't know why I woke up and called him and had to talk to him, because we had just started dating, right? So like, this is a story that I don't talk about very often. And then that was when she was passing away. Like, that was when she was dying in the other room. Oh. And it's so weird, and I sometimes just wonder if like some part of, like, she was trying to, I don't know, it was just something, you know, you don't call a guy that you just started dating in the middle of the night. That's a very strange thing to do.
Yes.
And it would have been very weird if he picked up, because why would he have picked up? But I just felt like, anyway, I think about that occasionally. Yeah. And I'm like, was there, did I have, his roommate was a gal and she was a comedian. And I'm like, did we have some like lady comedian, like
yeah.
thing going on?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know,
a connection. Like, I think there's,
talking,
yeah.
talking to oh, each wow. other. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's
so
that
crazy.
Is, yeah. I believe that. I believe that there's something bigger that we don't quite understand. And I believe there's probably explanation to it that we just don't, we're not, we haven't connected with that, you know, in a really consistently explainable way in science or whatever. But I think there's, you know, I love that. I love stories like that because it's, or, you know, I love that there's something bigger and like connection yeah. there.
Derek and Sarah, where can people find you on the internet? Plug anything you want to plug. And yes.
We are Legends and Spirits podcast. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher.
Yes. So
Instagram.
Yeah. Website is, you have to spell it out. Legends and Spirits podcast.com.
Great.
With the Insta, I think if you, whatever you type in close to that will come up, with Spotify, Apple Pods, Stitcher, and we're expanding that, all the platforms. You can use the ampersand there, you Legends ampersand spirits, and it should pop up and you'll see our little skeleton selves toasting with cocktails. So.
It is great art. It's amazing.
Do have good art. Do yeah. have good art.
Cool. Well, thank you so much
thank
for doing
you.
The podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Please check me out at Emily MC Winter on Instagram and Twitter, and grab a copy of One Day Smarter, Hilarious Random Information to Uplift and Inspire, my new trivia book, wherever you get your books. Have a great week.